And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you're enjoying it. It is a day the Lord has made. Might as well, right? I mean, look, you are assured eternal life. The rest is gravy. your life as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, will never end. The rest is icing on the cake. And it is a blissful life that awaits us. And by the way, with much good happening right now, you know, David said, I would have fainted, I would have lost heart, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there's a lot of good stuff right here and now, not just in the sweet by and by, but in the rotten here and now. God is still good. So it's a wonderful day, and I'm glad to be with you again today. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening on American Family Radio. And folks, got a lot of good things coming. But the first thing I want to mention to you is the upcoming Marriage Family Life Conference for 2021. We're calling it MFL 2021. MFL 21, Marriage Family Life Conference. You know, we're really excited about this one, especially because we couldn't do one last year. You know, COVID hit, and all of that was just brought to a screeching, grinding halt. We're back. We're back. June 24th through 26th of this year at the Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. In fact, it's really going to be two conferences in one. MFL 21 is also going to include a youth apologetics track for ages 4 to 17. And the theme of the conference this year is By Design, which is reminding all of us that we've got to stand up for creation as God intended it. And make this clear, speak the truth in love. MFL 21 is going to minister to culture-weary adults and youth, because all of us can get a little culture-weary with this craziness going on around us. We're going to encourage believers to contend for the faith. We're going to equip believers with biblical truth, challenge parents and grandparents who have been under a lot of pressure these days too. Teach the gospel to the next generation, not this politically correct nonsense that we're being, in effect, indoctrinated to teach. And we're going to fortify Christian youth, because they need to be fortified against the pressure that the mainstream media, the popular culture, pop culture, puts forward and tells them you're not a good person unless you buy into this. So folks, look, as year before last, we remember we had an early bird registration discount, doing the same thing again this year. Early bird registration discount ends on April 1. So you've got another couple of weeks to get your early bird registration in. You can register at marriagefamilylife.net. That's marriagefamilylife.net. And by the way, the conference, of course, will include lunch and opportunities to fellowship and get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ from around the country. So I hope you'll check it out. I hope you'll be there. Marriage Family Life Conference, MFL 21. Well, look, we got a tragic situation that happened in Boulder, Colorado early this morning. A gunman killed 10 people, and it's a horrible situation, obviously. And our hearts go out to all those families of lost loved ones. One police officer killed in this melee. As often happens, police officers die trying to protect and save the lives of others and get very little credit for it. We've had a full year last year of the police being slandered and vilified and excoriated and disrespected and dishonored and attacked. But once again, when the chips are down, it is those police officers who run toward the danger when everyone else is running away. and a police officer's lost his life in this situation. I'll get his name to you in a minute, but we need to just pray for those folks. And you know this. You know what's also sad? Joe Biden could not wait to use this as another opportunity to call for gun control. We're going to ban assault weapons. Well, anything that holds bullets and fires them is an assault weapon. This is just one of the silliest things I've ever heard, assault weapons. My goodness gracious. Just rhetoric just meant to scare people and make people think that somehow an AR-15 is only a weapon of war. It is a semi-automatic rifle like many semi-automatic rifles before it. It just happens to have a certain military look to it, so to speak, but it fires no differently. It is no more accurate than any other rifle that is a repeater. But here again, they use this stuff as rhetoric to try to convince people that America would be better off if you disarmed the populace. There's only one problem. With 300 million guns in America and Americans having the Second Amendment and believing in our right to defend ourselves and our families, you're not going to be able to do that. But the sad thing is, he couldn't wait. He could not wait to get that in. He just had to bring that in. He had to politicize it. Couldn't just mourn the people who have died. Talk about the importance of getting justice. I give the officials in Boulder credit. They didn't go there. I listened to the press conference, a good bit of it. I didn't hear any of them go there. They just talked about the victims. They talked about meeting out justice to the perpetrator. And they just left it at that. They talked about the loss that they felt, and you know it was heartfelt, and it was that becomes a unifying moment for us all, because none of us wants to see this mess happen. But we know the problem is not the firearm. The problem is what's in the heart of the person who goes out and exercises or uses that firearm unlawfully and destructively. And we could all unite around that. I could get with them. I don't know whether they're liberals or they're probably Democrats, but it didn't matter. We could all come together and be unified in understanding this human tragedy and in wanting to punish the person who did it. And of course, we certainly want to prevent these things from happening. But the way to prevent them is not by somehow limiting the instrument. The way to prevent them is by finding the people, wherever possible, who are leaning in that direction, because there are always signs of these things, and holding those people accountable or having them examined or figuring out where their heads are. This is a mental illness problem. It's not a gun problem. It's a mental health problem. And you got one guy down there in Atlanta who thinks he's dealing with his addiction by going and killing people in massage parlors. And this guy, we don't know yet what his motive was. He goes into a supermarket and tries to kill people. This is mental illness. There's something wrong with these people. I mean, it's evil, and I don't mean to minimize that in any way, but you know a person is not thinking straight when they think they're accomplishing something by doing that. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be put in jail, because in my view, they should absolutely go to jail. But you got to know this person needs something. Because they're just not, their heads are not right. It's not like a person getting into a fight and killing somebody without intending to do that, or losing his or her temper and committing an act of manslaughter in a fit of rage. That's an entirely different thing. But a person plots and plans to go into a place and just kill as many people as possible, and then you hear the crazy reasons. The gun has nothing to do with it. That just happens to be the convenient instrument whereby they can carry out their evil intents. Would it matter if they took a machete and cut people, stab people? No. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
It may be the most useless number you've never heard of in government. That number is what is called the social cost of carbon. The Obama administration created it years ago as an instrument to argue against fossil fuels and to argue for radical environmental policies. On his first day of office, President Biden issued an executive order resurrecting the Obama-era social cost of carbon. When it was first created, the cost was estimated at $22 a ton. 2 years later, the administration raised it to $36 a ton and eventually landed at $51 a ton as President Obama left office. The Biden administration issued a report last month putting the possible damages at $51 a ton for carbon dioxide emissions. This latest updated version will certainly go higher, since the White House has said that it will factor in commitments under the Paris Climate Treaty and also consider such issues as environmental justice and intergenerational equity. Here's my prediction. By the end of the year, the social cost of carbon will be estimated at more than $100 a ton. There is really no reason to believe this number for the social cost of carbon is based on rigorous science and economic evaluation. I was reading one paper that made the case that the benefits of carbon dioxide actually outweigh the cost substantially. Forests, grasslands, and various crops, for example, show greater growth when there is more carbon dioxide. The next time we have an unusual weather event, expect the social cost of carbon to be mentioned, and a cost of that weather phenomenon will be used to raise the cost even higher. It may be a number you've never heard of, but that's about to change. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. You know, it was 110 degrees in Ethiopia, Africa. Hundreds had gathered for Sunday worship outdoors, and I learned that some had walked an hour or more just to be there. Afterwards, I met Cademan, hunched over a table and frantically copying scriptures from an Amharic language Bible to a lined piece of paper. Then his face turned sad as he closed the Bible and handed it back to its rightful owner. Only a few in that church to have a Bible. You see, Cademan loves the Lord, leads his family, is faithful at worship, but he's never read a single verse in his own Bible because he does not own one. While we in America can open our Bibles every day, 9 of 10 Christians in parts of Africa are denied God's Word. And that's why Bible League is focused right now on Africa, the place in the world where Christianity is growing in the greatest numbers. A Bible can be sent for $5. $50 will send 10. Learn how you can be a blessing by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD or by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
Brian Fisher here. Even the Washington Post is getting after Biden for his disaster at the border. A city in Illinois actually starts paying reparations. Is that a good idea? The White House directs all federal agencies to refer to it as the Biden-Harris administration. The transgender agenda for schools gets expensive, and AOC stops taking pictures. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Please don't forget, folks, to go to our website, AFR.net. Check out the podcast there. Share them with others. You can always refer people to them who can't listen to the program, my program or any other program, live, and they want to hear something that you maybe talk to them about. So you can send them to the podcast. That would be tremendous for us. I mean, it helps us to be able to measure your engagement. So please don't forget and check out The Awakening, of course, on AFR.net. And again, it's right on the homepage. Can't miss it. Well, look, the last couple of days has come up, I said with the shooting in Atlanta, now we got another one in Boulder, which is apparently of a different kind. But with the shooting in Atlanta, I said people were missing the point. The mainstream media was completely obsessed with the racial angle. Was this some sort of attack on Asians? But they completely missed the human trafficking aspect of this, because apparently, according to my research, there are thousands of these massage parlors across the country. Behind them is organized crime. Inside them is prostitution, very often. And the people who are being used are people who have been brought into the country illegally or on a visitor's visa or something like that, where they paid $40,000 to $60,000 to a human trafficker to get here, and then told you have to pay that off by making yourself available to one of these institutions. These people are watched. They become, for all practical purposes, slaves. It is human slavery. Well, I've got guests today, and I believe that Lori called me on the line to talk about this. But my guests today are Laurie and Ashley, who are both human trafficking educators for the Red Cord, which is a grassroots Oklahoma-based anti-trafficking organization that was founded in 2014. It's a nonprofit with a vision to create a culture that's intolerant to human trafficking. Well, Laurie and Ashley, welcome to The Awakening. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, tell me, either of you can answer this. Who is the Red Cord and what do you do?
Well, we're a nonprofit 501c3 that was founded right here in Oklahoma to bring education and awareness to a problem that is probably the most heinous crime. One can understand the depth and darkness that is involved in this crime that is being not discussed by the culture or by anyone for that matter, except for the recent information and explosion of help that we got from President Trump. Human trafficking is one of the fastest growing crimes in the world. Many believe, based on the data, that it is the worst and highest grossing crime. It grosses well over $150 billion a year, keeping in mind that amount of money is money that we know of, and because it's such a dark, hideous crime, it's difficult to track how much money is involved. So our $150 billion is conservative. So you can take any top three companies combined, and again, this is unreported, untracked, untaxed, and they don't make the kind of money that human trafficking does. The ugly reality is that there are far more slaves right now, currently mm-hmm. today, than there ever was in the entire transatlantic slave trade, which was just shy of 300 years. In other words, on our planet right now, we have more women and children who are trapped in modern-day slavery than we had for close to 300 years combined. The highest estimate of slaves during the transatlantic slave was between 12 and 16 million. Today, the estimate is between 23 and 60 million worldwide. Again, keeping in mind, because that's a broad number, that this is a hidden crime, and data is very difficult to keep precise. And the part that's going to upset your listening audience is the average age of a slave is between 12 and 14 years of age. And anyone with any kind of mathematical mind knows that if you have an average age of between 12 and 14 years, then there's a whole lot of little ones below 12 that mm-hmm. are being sold to sex slavery and labor trade, and quite a few above that. During the plantation days of slavery, a human could be sold for $4,000. Today on the black market, you can go as low as $90. And a child can earn a trafficker $250,000 via porn, sexual violence, and exploitation. And Bishop, this is the true pandemic destroying mm-hmm. our nation and our mm-hmm. world.
Why do you think that, and what you've described is clearly slavery, and here again, people might be offended by this. I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know whether you all are, but people might be offended by this, but this is really worse than the chattel slavery of ancient times because it has the intention of sexual exploitation of children as one of its... clearly one of its goals, one of the things that is part and parcel of this, which ought to offend most Americans, ought to offend most people around the world. Why is it that the world doesn't seem to be taking this as seriously as we all should?
I think our culture is being desensitized. Ashley, you can speak to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things with modern day slavery that we didn't see with historic slavery is what they're calling a pedophilic shift in our nation. And a lot of that is due to the hypersexualization in our culture. So, for instance, pornography, the statistics of those that are addicted to pornography, just last year when they did some data gathering, they came up with 1 in 3 men are addicted to pornography, and between 1 in 4 and 1 in 5 women are addicted to pornography. And people need to understand that pornography is the gateway drug to human trafficking, to buying a human being for sex. Unfortunately, we've seen a shift in the pornographic world where the desire is children. It's becoming younger and younger on these pornographic sites. And if anyone's been following some of the legal cases going against some of the largest pornographic sites, Pornhub, that's the main reason that they are on the verge of going under, is because they knew for a fact that they had children on their site. They knew that they were making money on it, and they refused to take down these videos of these children being abused. So just a basic, you know, Biology 101, how our brain works, you know, we're looking for something that makes us happy. That's why people get addicted to drugs. They get addicted to alcohol. They get addicted to all sorts of things. Pornography is no different. It's something that hits the same receptors in the brain as crack cocaine. So it becomes very, very addictive. And just like with any drug, eventually you reach your tolerance point. So you have to go to the next level and the next level. Wow. What we've discovered with human trafficking, specifically tied to pornography, is the porn producers, they know this. They know that eventually what you are watching is not going to cut it. So they're going to make it more edgy, more risky, more violent, so you get that extra hit of dopamine because, one, you know you're doing something wrong, but you get that rush of adrenaline. And that's something that we didn't see back in historic times, but we're seeing today. And unfortunately, it's involving more and more children than adults.
What can people do about this? I mean, the average person listening right now, of course, we've got a lot of Christians in our audience listening to this thinking, oh, my God, this is absolutely horrible. What can they do about it? What can the average person do aside from obviously staying away from pornography and staying away from these things? Because, as you said, that you're really supporting a slave industry. But what can the average person who's not caught up with that, what can they do to help?
It's got to be education and awareness, which is the piece that we do as the Red Cord. You've got to be able to discern between what is good information and what is bad information. And oftentimes, the Internet is putting out really bad information, telling people to watch out for the guy in the creepy white van, or that there's someone in Walmart putting bread ties on cars. That's not the case. If you're on the Internet and you have a child, you've pretty much made your child a soft target. You can say to yourself, well, I avoid porn. I'm not going to look for porn. I'm not going to rated R movies. I'm not looking, you know, at the inappropriate magazines. But the serious truth is that porn is looking for you. The pornography industry is targeting our children. And that's something that many parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, big brothers, little kids are being approached through online gaming. I hear stories all the time in this organization when people walk up to us because they feel safe to tell us things, you know, because we're trying to make them aware what happens to them. I had a young girl. She was 11 years old. Her father had done everything he possibly could to implement safeties and allowing her online. She got groomed. She literally got groomed. They got to her through her phone, through her allowance on the Internet, and they taught that child how to override dad's safety systems and those firewalls. One has to be aware that if you are going to put your children online or let them on these TikToks and Facebook, that they are going to see it. It's not if your child will see it. It's when your child will see it. It's not if your husband or you are going to be exposed to it. It's when. And we've got to start talking about it in churches. Pastors, believers are afraid to address this issue because it is an ugly issue. And like Ashley said, with the statistics, 1 in 3 men are addicted, and we're seeing an increase in women being addicted. And it does fry out the receptors in your brain, which is why you transition to something more heinous.
Look,
and more hideous.
We're coming up to a break. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can find us at our website, which is www.theredcord.org. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And also, too, if anyone that's listening feels like that they have been
okay, that's going to do it. Okay, thank you all. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The little village church was crowded. The congregation was waiting anxiously to hear the message that the speaker was to bring. It was no ordinary occasion, for a hometown boy was about to preach his first sermon. As the young preacher rose to speak, he gave evidence of doing some extensive homework for his sermon. The fact that he was a very educated person was one which he wished for the people to immediately recognize. For 3 weeks, the young man had worked on that sermon, making sure that it was a sermon of the highest intellectual stature. He was doing pretty good with his sermon, impressing the people with his brilliant mind, when he happened to use a very intellectual word to impress the people. One young lady sitting on the front row, evidently not able to comprehend some of the preaching from such an intelligent person, snickered when the young preacher used the word. In fact, she hid her face to keep from laughing out loud. It was a very disturbing experience for the young preacher. The snickering upset him so much that he forgot the rest of his sermon. Very badly embarrassed at the situation, the young man soon admitted to the congregation that he had forgotten the rest of his sermon. As he headed toward his seat, a thought ran through his mind. Well, you can't remember your sermon, but isn't there anything that Christ has done for you that you can tell them? Immediately, the young preacher turned and headed back to the pulpit. And so, for the second time that day, he proceeded to tell in a spirit of enthusiasm of what the carpenter of men had done for him. After the service was over, another young man came up to the preacher and said he wanted Christ to do the same thing for him that he'd done for the young preacher. And so the first of countless opportunities to spread the good news was open to the young preacher who had forgotten his sermon. You know, I think there's a lesson for us here. Our Creator doesn't need someone down here on earth to use their brilliant and intellectual minds to impress folks. What he wants and needs is someone with heart enough to simply tell what he's done for us. For the greatest preaching isn't to be done through the brain, as important as that is to every minister. The greatest preaching, with the most far-reaching effects, comes from the heart, from one who can say, "This I know God can do, for he has done it for me." You know, being a minister, I believe I need all the education and study I can get, and I've spent the greater part of my life pursuing it, and still do. But I found that what does the most good is not an intellectual sermon, but a simple sermon from the heart which folks know to be true. Perhaps the best thing that ever happened to E. Stanley Jones was that he forgot his first sermon and spoke from the heart. And maybe it will happen again to each of us.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, that interview was sobering. If you want to find out more about the work of Laurie and Ashley, go to theredcord.org, theredcord.org. You can also find them on Facebook under The Red Cord. That's three words. On Instagram under Red Cord Oklahoma, and I'm sure you'll get all the information that you need there to be able to help them, to support them in some way, because this is a serious problem. And by the way, it knows no racial, cultural, or ethnic boundaries. It affects all people in all places, under all circumstances, and runs the risk of sweeping up all our children from all backgrounds into this vicious industry. So we certainly need to be attentive to it and aware of it. All these people are constantly talking about the slavery that ended 150 years ago and seem to have very little interest in the slavery that's going on in this day, in this time, which again, as I've said before, it's not the skin, it's the sin. But because it doesn't make some kind of racial narrative fit, there's not as much interest in it on the part of some political types. You know, they only want the stuff that they can attribute to race. That this has nothing to do with this, because ultimately, none of it ultimately does. All of it has to do with the sinfulness of the human heart. So check them out, and please support the work that they are doing, because it is such important work in this day and time. And I'm sure you can learn more about how to protect your children and grandchildren, because they definitely need that kind of protection in the kind of world we live in today, and the things that people are willing to do today in order to make money and satisfy their own lusts. All right, well, look, the number is 888-589-8840. I want to take your calls, see what you all think about the fact. I can't believe that Joe Biden brought up gun control. I can't believe it. Well, I shouldn't say that, because I shouldn't put anything past these folks. But, you know, give people a chance to mourn and a chance to deal with this. But, oh, no, he has to jump right into that. You know, all he did, all that was a commercial for the gun manufacturers and the gun store owners to sell some more guns. And they've been leaping off the shelves. Ammo guns have been leaping off the shelves because Americans are afraid that the day will come when these leftists will trample the Second Amendment and try to take away Americans' right to keep and bear arms. And folk are stocking up now against that day. It is such, in my view, such an unconstitutional attitude and so much in disregard of what's made us a successful nation in the first place, which is individual liberty. God bless these police officers, but you shouldn't have to wait for or rely upon a police officer to defend yourself and your family. And God bless them for the work that they do. But here again, every time one of these mass shootings takes place, guess what I think? I think, why was there nobody trained to use a firearm? Why was there nobody who could respond to that danger? But the left wants to make sure there's nobody who can respond to the danger, because you can rest assured criminals are not giving up their guns. Criminals are not giving up their firearms. So the only people who would be defenseless would be the American people, innocent, law-abiding folks sitting in their homes, driving in their cars, going back and forth to work, just doing the normal things that human beings do. Then they become victimized by the folks who've got the guns, who can now look with confidence. Well, they've disarmed the American people. They don't have any guns. There's nothing they can do about it. But off he went. Off he went into La La Land, which is apparently where he lives right now. I mentioned that yesterday. The victory we had yesterday. Well, actually, I don't think I did. But whether I did or not, University of Iowa, great victory for some Christian students there who won the right to be on campus, because the university has had many universities across the country have said that if you are a Christian organization, you may not remain on campus if you do not allow non-Christians to be the leaders in your group. Now, folks, you know, how can people with PhDs and master's degrees be that dumb? And let's face it, it's not stupidity. It's venality. It's anti-Christian hostility is what it is. Because, you know, when they sued the University of Iowa, guess what they found? They hadn't done that to the Muslims. They hadn't done that to the Hindus. They hadn't done that to the Sikhs. They hadn't done that to anybody else. Only the Christian group was told, you can't have a Christian group on campus if you don't let others who are not Christians be leaders in your group. In other words, if you won't let us kill your group, you can't be on campus. I mean, that's preposterous. What's next? To tell me, Bishop Jackson, you can't have a church that discriminates. You got to let everybody come preach in your pulpit. Let Louis Farrakhan come in there. Let the atheists come in. You got to let everybody come in, or you won't be allowed any legal status at all. I mean, because to me, it's the equivalent. And by the way, this is a state university, which means that they are operating under color of law. They are a government institution, and they're treating Christians that way. But they won. Praise God. We're winning some, folks. In fact, you know what? I believe we're going to start winning more and more. That does sound familiar, doesn't it? You know, that sounds very, very familiar. Democrat Representative Escobar. I think she's Texas, too, isn't she? I think she's in Texas. Yeah, she's in Texas. Representative Veronica Escobar said that if you mention not being able to bring illegal immigrants across the border without testing them for COVID, that that is racist. Now, wait a minute. Wait. Haven't we been told for the last year that COVID affects people of color more than it does anybody else, and that everybody ought to be afraid, and everybody ought to wear masks, and everybody ought to stay home, and everybody, all the businesses ought to shut down, and everybody ought to be locked down. That's the way we're going to bend the curve and all. Have we been told that for the last year? And now she comes along and says, oh, no. If you raise COVID with respect to illegal immigrants coming into the country, you are a racist. You know what I call that? ROS, racial obsession syndrome. There it is once again. Everything is about race. It can't be just about COVID. It can't just be just about safety. The people have been telling us all this whole year that there was all about our safety. It's all about our safety. Wear your mask. Stay in the house. Don't go see your grandchildren. Don't go to church. But now all of a sudden, how dare you suggest that people be tested before coming into this country? That's racist. These folks, there's only one antidote to this, folks, and that is you got to get these people out of power. You really, these people don't belong anywhere near the levers of power. They really don't. They are so off their rockers. But you know what? I'm glad. Just keep talking. Keep talking. Because the average American hears that and has got to think, why in the world would I want anybody like that in government? Who thinks that the very thing we've been told for the last year we must do now tells me if I raise that issue with regard to illegal immigrants coming into the country, I am a racist. This stuff is just, it's beyond the pale. It's preposterous, frankly. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. I got to take a break here in a moment. But let me just mention before we go, and then when I come back, I'm going to take your calls. This debacle that is taking place at the border, and it is a debacle. I posted a picture of it on my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, in which I commented. And you can see the disgusting circumstances in which these illegal immigrants have been placed. And I guarantee you, the Trump administration was doing everything in its power to treat these people humanely. And they were lambasted for it and told that they were putting them in cages and concentration camps. And you look at what's going on down there now. But see, this is exactly what Biden invited. Now he's getting it. And I don't think he has a clue what to do about it.
I am editor-in-chief of OneNewsNow.com,
Jody Brown.
We want to get news to folks who are tired of getting news that's written from an anti-God viewpoint. What people are going to see is news that is written from a biblical perspective by people who love the Lord. We would invite folks to give us a try. We know there's a lot of news sources out there. There are a lot of news websites. Come visit us at onenewsnow.com.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
What I have been advocating is that we need to look at everybody, regardless of who they are, through the eyes of Christ. And understand that if you look through the eyes of Christ, you see someone who can be redeemed and restored.
Sometimes we're quick to judge others based on appearances or circumstances. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Walt Heyer encourages you to see people as God sees them.
And so I have always asked pastors and leaders in churches to sit down with the people who they are afraid of or who are messy people and ask them the questions that I ask. Why are you struggling? What has caused this to happen? Yeah. And get to know them, as Pastor Jeff Farrar did for me. He spent a lot of time sort of looking at my heart,
right,
to see where my heart was.
When you encounter that messy person, extend some grace, ask questions, and gain a new perspective. Hear more from Walt today at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right to your calls. Let's go to, let me get my mechanism working here. Let's go to Julio in Texas. Julio, welcome back.
Dang, Bishop, you got me on first. That's awesome, man. How's it going?
Right.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Special. I'm good. I'm going to go play the lottery, man. Shoot. Hey, Bishop. Hey, buddy. I just wanted to mention something, a few things. Hope you got a few, like a minute. Well, my dad is from Vejucos, Mexico. He got here when he was about 14. Anyways, mm-hmm. He was living in Texas illegally. Took him some time to get his green card. Anyways, it's, mm-hmm. You know, I understand where these people are coming over here illegally. You know, yeah, I'd want to better my life for me and my family, but, dude, there's a legal way to do it. Mm-hmm. And another thing that's frustrating that I just read, God rest those people's souls up in Colorado. Mm-hmm. A bunch of them died, you know, about 10 of them. Anyways, now Joe Biden's pushing for gun control, ban on assault rifles, and I just read that somewhere. So I just wanted to get mm-hmm. that out there and just yeah. want to let everybody know this isn't the time when we you know, separate. We need to be calm. You know, we've all been here long enough to put up with each other's crap, you know, rather than look at each other's skin tone and be like, hey, amen. I don't like you because of that. You know, that's terrible. You know, we've all been here long enough to get past that.
Oh, Julio, let me ask you. Do you think how much, I mean, just give me your guess. I'm not asking whether you polled it or anything like that, but just your guess. How much do you think opposition to illegal immigration by Americans is racist, is because of skin color?
Don't get me wrong. I've been put in that situation, but I didn't think it was because somebody was being racist. I think it's because their nature is to be a butthead. You know, I'd like to use a different word. But this is a Christian radio station, so I can't
thank
say
you.
That.
Thank you, Julio.
Yeah, thanks, Bishop.
Yeah. All right, man. God bless you. Yeah, it's, folks, again, it's not the skin. It's the sin. That's the issue. And I welcome people coming into this country legally. And I don't care what the color of the skin is. And I think that's the way most Americans feel. I really do. But I think a lot of Americans resent the left trying to use its Marxist ideology to bring people into the country illegally with the promise of socialism and welfare and all of this other stuff. And here again, that has nothing to do with the color of their skin either. Because I've talked to people who came here illegally who were from parts of Europe. That's not the issue. The issue is do it the right way, as Julio just suggested. Great. Thank you for the call, Julio. Let's go to Ron, also in Texas. Ron, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, and God bless you for spreading God's word.
Thank you, sir.
You know, this probably the store that this happened in had a sign on the door, no weapons allowed, which only opens the door for the illegal weapons with up to no good coming in. You never hear about a shooting at a hunting lodge, a shooting at a gun store, or shoot any other place where they know there are people there that are armed. So
yep. It just doesn't. It's very rare. It's very rare. I did hear one story of somebody, but, you know, people, if a person goes into a gun store, they go into a gun show like that, they probably are interested in committing suicide. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm serious about that. They're probably interested in committing suicide because they know that, first of all, police are going to be there. And secondly, there will be people there who will be armed. Now, I've gone to some gun shows where you can carry your firearm to the gun show, but you have to empty it before you walk inside the gun show. So for all practical purposes, everybody in the gun show is unarmed, even if they're carrying a weapon on them. But police are there, and they're all over the place. So if you walk into a place like that or a gun store, now in a gun store, private event, that's, you know, the store owners, usually the guys behind the counter at a gun store, are locked and loaded. I mean, they're fully armed. In fact, I think that's part of their uniform. So you walk into a place like that, you're looking to get yourself killed, you know, like suicide by a cop. But you're right. People don't go in there expecting to kill people because they know they're going to have a very short career if you try that one. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tim in Arkansas. Tim, welcome.
Hey, Bishop.
Hope you're having Hi, Tim.
A good day. Hey, God bless you. Hey,
Thank you.
I got something real quick. Why do you think when the Democrats get in control that we always have these shootings when something happens? You know, like they're getting that pressure down on the border now, different things. Governor Cuomo up there in New York. Then all of a sudden we had two shootings. I just wanted your take on that. Thanks.
Well, thank you for the call, Tim. You know, that's interesting. I never thought about when these things occur. I have to go back and look at that, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that these things occur with a sufficient level of frequency that they probably occur in pretty much any administration over a four-year period. You know, you raise a good question. I don't know how frequently they happen. I'm just taking a guess off the top of my head, but I'd have to verify this, but it feels to me like about once or twice a year, we will see these things take place. And we know that look, a person is either caught up with some sort of evil in their heads that makes them think they're doing something good, or they are just mentally ill. And it's probably a little bit of both. Probably a little bit of both. You know, some people have done these things trying to emulate someone else who's done it or trying to be the most prolific mass murderer in history. And here again, how straight can your thinking be if your ambition in life is to be the greatest mass murderer in history? So yeah, there's all kinds of things going through people's heads, and I can't match it up off the top of my head, at least with any particular administration, as if somebody is orchestrating it. I don't think that's the case. I don't see any indication of that. And remember, these things come from people who identify with the left, and in some cases, at least arguably, from somebody who identifies with the right or with conservatives. But either way, these folks are just mentally ill. And look, there's mental illness among conservatives or people who identify maybe with a more conservative point of view. In fact, folks, there are even people who claim to be Christians. This guy who committed these shootings in Atlanta said he was a Christian, and he left his church for some. He was unhappy about something. Here again, was he a Christian? I kind of doubt it. So I think this stuff comes from all different angles and backgrounds and circumstances. And here again, it's a problem not of the weapon. It's a problem of the human heart. But thanks for the call. Let's go from Tim to Tom. Tom in Ohio. Tom, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to switch gears a little bit. I think a week ago you had a caller talk about
the news and how they mind control people. And I've been noticing on CNN versus Fox, and I watch this at 6 a.m., but CNN really gives me the sense of unnervingness. There's a low frequency drum noise. Their banner is red, and their hosts, I think it's Alison Camrader and John Burnham, they're always holding the Republicans in contempt. And they keep belaboring the point about the insurrection. And there's all these little subtle things that gives me a feeling of unease when I watch that versus Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends has its own issues, as we know, of course. But I've been noticing this a little bit more with a lot of these news organizations and how they're working on you very subtly. I'm just kind of curious to know what you thought about that.
Well, you know, I said to call Tom, thank you for the call. I think it is a tremendous point. And I think I shared with you all a few days ago how Diana West, who's written a book, Red Thread, and a number of other books about communist infiltration in the country, she called it psychological warfare. And when she said it, it just resonated with me. I thought, wow, I never thought of that. But I think that's exactly what you're feeling. There is an agreement that we're going to propound and pound away at certain points, certain phrases, certain ideas, and we're going to keep hitting them until we get people indoctrinated into thinking this way. And I think that's exactly what they do at CNN, the Communist News Network. It's what they do at MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel. It's what Don LeMond does. It's what they all do. I think they're, here again, I don't know that they meet and talk about this stuff, but, you know, we've seen the clips that have been provided to us of some of these background meetings where they're talking about what they want to give emphasis to. So I don't think it's just a common set of ideals. I think there's a very clear agenda that is explicit behind certain phrases, certain ideas, pump them into the American people again and again and again and again. Well, folks, this has been a short day for calls, but let's try to get one more in before we have to go. Let's go to Jacob in Georgia. Jacob, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Bishop.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you Bishop, on. We don't have much time left, but take your best shot at it.
Bishop, I'm going to jump on this as fast as I can. I got about two issues, but I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
The number one issue is Pamela Harris and Joe Biden flew to Atlanta to meet with the community that had lost six or seven people and made a special trip there. But daily, blacks are murdering each other throughout the United States by the thousands, by the hundreds. But Joe Biden nor Kamala Harris have ever stood up and addressed that as a...
Jacob, you said it. You said it. And I could not say it any better. That's the hypocrisy. But look, don't forget the reason, because they don't care. They only care about keeping people in their stable. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll take more of your calls then. And remember, in the meantime, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.